Where were you?
I had to, Alex wouldn't leave me alone, so I hopped in my car and drove about a block away. Because he was trying to follow me into the driveway, too, so I had to leave.
Wait a minute, so...
Okay. So, yes, I got in my car. I turned on the State of the Union on my Slingbox on my iPad, and every once in a while that didn't work, and so I had it on the radio, and, yeah, so I did it out there.
Oh, that's funny. But you know, there were a lot of websites that were streaming it, you know?
Yeah.
You could have gone to one of those instead of using your Slingbox.
Why?
Okay.
All right.
Just saying, like, I got a notice on my Bloomberg app. Hey, you want to watch it on your phone? Here, go here.
No, at one point I had it up live streaming from the White House site and my Slingbox going as well. But there's nothing wrong with, I mean, the Slingbox is a direct feed of what's on the TV.
Well, if you were having some difficulty with it, it's the only reason.
No, the difficulty was that my data plan ran out.
Okay.
And so I had to go to...
All right, can we get... I'm falling asleep here, for God's sakes. Can we get... I mean, Jesus, with this speech, can we get started, for God's sakes? Let's just,
so I had to go to Verizon and add more data.
Good, can we go? Are we on? Welcome! Something.
Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Wednesday, January 29th, 2014. It's a little after 3:30 UTC. Yvonne and I, we're recording this right after the State of the Union. I made the suggestion earlier in the week that we listen to the State of the Union first and then record our show.
You know, I voted for this guy twice, okay? And if that, listen, while the content, there was a lot of good content, he said certain things or whatever, honestly, it was boring. It was boring as all hell.
I should mention that as we are speaking this very minute, the Republican response is on. I have it in the background here.
And I can't imagine how thrilling that thing must be. Right,
the one thing that is worse than State of the Union addresses is always the opposition response.
The responses, they're horrible.
This is completely bipartisan, by the way. It doesn't matter who's president and who's doing the response.
It doesn't matter. They're all awful. And, you know, there was a stat today that was showing that usually whomever has done the response, usually political hell follows that person. All right, it's like one of those things that it's one of those assignments that really, if they ask you, hey, we need to do a response to the president's speech, I'm like, no thanks. I gotta like clip my nails. I'm gonna be busy.
One of the difficulties with that, of course, is that they always, you know, they have to write their response before they see the actual speech, so it's never actually a point by point response or anything like that.
Right.
You know, it's just a general, here's what the opposition thinks at the moment. But, you know, obviously, I guess...
Here's my question.
Yes, yes.
When the hell did this stupid thing start with a response? I mean, I don't remember 20, 30 years ago there being some fucking response. Am I selectively...
I think you're selectively remembering. I think, I don't know if they've had them forever.
But I don't think, like, the major news covered it, you know? I mean, if you were on NBC, or you were watching it on, you know, back then, right? I mean, you know, you had maybe a couple of networks to choose from, right? Talking 30 years, I don't think they aired the response.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Are you doing a search?
It looks like the tradition of having response started in 1966.
66. I wonder how, you know, all right, so you see, it wasn't going on forever, so I don't know why the hell. First of all, the speech is, like, boring as all shit.
Well remember, there's also been a back and forth on the State of the Union itself in terms of, you know, the first few presidents didn't deliver speeches, they delivered the State of the Union in writing. I mean, it's mandated by the Constitution, but at various points in time, sometimes the tradition has been to give speeches, sometimes it's been in writing, sometimes it's been this, sometimes it's been that. The modern thing is a television creation, and I tweeted several times during this, the one thing that annoys me more than anything else of these stupid things is the people in the audience. And I think Ronald Reagan started that tradition. I could be wrong.
The whole crazy clapping?
No, not the clapping thing. The bringing up example people in the audience to illustrate issues that you have. They'll bring up, you know, survivors of the latest school shooting, or here they had an injured soldier, and they had several other people. And not to say anything against the particular people that they're calling out, who generally speaking are people who have, you know, done important things or suffered through something or something, you know, they're all like people to be lauded, I guess, but they're brought up here in the State of the Union as props, which just kind of annoys
me.
And also, of course, just generally speaking, and you notice we haven't spoken about substance much at all here, because what happens at these is, unless you've got a situation where you've got a president and both houses of Congress 100% behind him, and probably not even then, you know, they list a whole bunch of things they want to do, 95% of which will never happen.
I mean, you know, there was a number of decent ideas, but good Lord, I mean, you know, I don't know. I was bored out of my mind. I mean, this is just... honestly, I wanted to just go sleep.
Well, I don't know. I mean...
The State of the Union address clocked in at 65 minutes, the longest since his first formal one in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was long. Let me start off with that. It was long. I don't think he was very energetic.
I've seen a number of people commenting on that, you know, he's not, I mean, look, he's in a lame duck at this point. I mean, you know.
I get it.
The amount to which he's a lame duck, yes, some things still happen in the last few years of a presidency, but we've got less than 3 years left now, less than 3 years by about a week left now, and... The further along here, the less happens, and the more concentration is going to be on who's running in 2016 and what's going on and what are they saying, and the less concentration is going to happen to the president. Add to that, you've got a divided Congress and a particularly obstinate House that doesn't want to let anything at all happen, and you basically got the guy talking into the wind.
Listen. But even he talked about this, because this is one of the things that's kind of funny. I'm listening a bit before the speech. I had it on somewhere where they had this Republican person talking, and they're going on about all of this shit. And one of the things, like the president pointed out today, we actually have a budget deal.
Yes. Yep.
And the deficit's going down, and this person's like, you know, hammering away, talking about shit like we never cut a deal on the budget, you know. And I'm like, really? I mean, I don't know. I mean, okay, so we got a budget deal. We talked about that. Talked about closing Guantanamo again. We talked about fucking closing Guantanamo since his campaign.
I have two things to say about that, and they're both repeats of things I've said before, but I just want to get it out. Number one, yes, it's a repeat. He said this since before he was president. Congress blocked it. What the hell is he going to do that's any different than he's done the last 5 years? No. And two, the whole idea of closing Guantanamo in the first place was a smokescreen, because what mattered is not closing that particular base and that particular prison, but ending the practices that happened there, like indefinite detention and the various other abuses there, and he's never once said he's actually going to stop those things. He says he stopped the enhanced interrogation way back when, but, you know, know, there's still people there.
That had been done before.
There's still, well, yes, it had been. Bush had already essentially stopped that. But there's still, you know, no commitment. Just generally saying, we will not indefinitely detain people. Period. End of story. If you know, we will either return them or put them on trial or whatever. But we're not going to do this. Hold them indefinitely without any sort of legal process. And you've got like, you know, a few dozen people there that we've actually exonerated and said are completely innocent, but we haven't let loose.
I mean, let loose some people, but not nearly enough. Anyway, so yeah, so Guantanamo again.
Yes, yes. Anyway,
all right. What the fuck else? I mean, talked about Obamacare. Showed the props. You know, like, I mean, God bless that poor guy. I mean, Jesus Christ, the guy. Tenth deployment. You know, Sam went and tweeted this, talking about a guy who basically had been deployed to.
I retweeted things on the before.
Yeah, he got deployed like 10 times out there to Afghanistan, Iraq, and whatever. And in this 10th deployment, he almost nearly got freaking killed. The guy is blind in one eye. He's freaking, I mean, he's in really bad shape. But the president brought about, well, you know, yeah, okay, actually, I don't have a problem that much with that. I mean, the poor guy deserved. I clapped for him.
Maybe he deserved some applause, but I actually look at it as, you know, when you pull out somebody like this, you're using them. That's not the fair, right thing to do with them either. You're using them for your own political advantage.
You know what? He got a bipartisan clap.
He did.
I think I think people genuinely, you know, were doing it out of respect for the guy.
I'm sure they are. I think it's a cheap gimmick.
It's a gimmick.
And there's nothing to say against this guy or any of the other guys that were highlighted.
It's a gimmick. I know, but I gotta be honest with you. I don't know how much, you know, you're saying like the gimmick, like they're, you know, it's like one thing is like being that exploitative. I don't think that anybody gets that much out of these. I gotta be honest with you. I mean, they're a little bit boring. I mean, the whole thing was boring. It was just, I wanted to just kill myself.
Well, I'm glad you did not.
Oh, good God. I'm like, really? I was like, this damn... Sam knows this. I have been avoiding watching these for the last, I don't know how many years.
And now you remember why.
And now I exactly remember why. They're awful. All of them. My God. Good Lord.
Yeah, you occasionally get a memorable paragraph or two, but that's a small thing.
Right!
I mean, and again, like, the frustrating part is when you have these in this kind of environment where you just know that almost nothing that is mentioned is actually going to result in a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he proposes policy A, policy B, policy C, policy D, and, you know, the Republicans in the House say, yeah, right, no way, and you're done.
Right. And that's it.
Now, he has said, and I tweeted about this too, as not a positive thing, he's said, you know, hey, wherever I can, I'm going to take action without the Congress.
Right.
And here's the thing, that's absolutely 100% inevitable when the Congress is in a gridlock and won't move forward. But in general, I think it is a bad thing for our democracy and for policy in general when you set a precedent that the president, on his own judgment, without anybody else saying one way or the other, can just do what he wants. Wait,
that's not what he said.
Yes, okay? he's talking about that's using executive orders for more things. And yeah, that's exactly what executive orders are. Is the president saying, I'm going to do blah. Now.
Yeah, but what he's saying is, okay, all right, the president has authority to, you know, I mean, our agencies, we have laws and we have certain things, and he could do something. He didn't go flat out and say, I'm going to go and just take the Constitution and just wipe it through my balls, but just do anything, you know, that I want.
No, but what happens in these things is that there are many things traditionally have not been done by the executive alone. And what happens is when it is in power vacuums like this, where the Congress isn't doing anything, the president decides, you know, this has never been done by executive fiat before. It's always been done by Congress before, but Congress isn't doing jack shit, so I'm going to do it now. And with that single action, you set the precedent that from then on, presidents are not going to hesitate about doing that particular thing anymore. There's not a clear line that's been drawn by the Constitution saying exactly this. These are the things that the president can do on his own authority, and these are Congress. Unless, of course, you're a strict constructionalist and read the whole government cannot do anything other than what's specifically outlined in this document, which hasn't been paid much attention to in a couple centuries now. But generally speaking, all of these things are precedent-based and tradition-based, and they're things that presidents 100 years ago would never dream of doing that now they take for granted. And along that fuzzy line that's in the middle, you have things like this, where the president is saying, you know, I generally would have preferred that the Congress take action here, but since they won't, I do it. I will do it myself. And what that does is it sets the precedent for the next 50 to 100 years.
Well, I gotta be honest with you. I don't think much is happening anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he'll do some executive orders around the peripheries. He will do some things, but you know, I don't think he's gonna take an immense power grab and you know,
right.
Because here's what happens. If he does, then of course those things go to court, and then of course,
right.
But you know, the problem is, and some of those things have been pushed back by the court, but generally speaking, the court is fairly timid when those situations, and they end up saying, you know, this is a matter between the Congress and the president.
Doesn't like it, they can go and like make a law making it, you know, they can pass a fucking law, which
right.
obviously
which
they
can't.
They can't. Right. Right. So, all right. Anything other than that popped out of you about this fucking speech?
Well, you know, there's a laundry list of specific programs, but like I said, I don't think it's worth really talking about any of them because most of them won't happen. I will note, you know, the whole surveillance thing was he got exactly one sentence.
I missed it.
Which was frankly more than I expected. I thought he was going to ignore it completely, figuring that he covered it last week or whatever. But it's clearly, you know, an issue that, as far as Obama's concerned, you know, he talked about it. He's done with that, you know. So he mentioned a statement about that. And he mentioned, you know, Afghanistan and getting out of there, but he mentioned potentially some residual troops staying, you know, and I didn't get a chance to tweet that because it was during my internet outage there, but I was thinking, yeah, how much do we really believe they really are going to come to an agreement? And if so, do we really want it? Because, you know, the Karzai government is on fairly weak footing. Are we going to actually put something in place where we're going to defend him if something happens? Because that's just going to draw us right back in. Or are we going to leave and say, you know, if the Taliban takes over Afghanistan again, so be it. You know? Or we'll throw more. We'll use drones,
but I think
on the ground.
Listen, well, yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. And I mean, let's face it. I think that thing, well, it's just very unstable. I mean, well, look, let's take it back to another step. I mean, if you look at what happened in Iraq, and the Iraqi government hasn't fallen, but certainly you can see that they've got, you know, have quite a lot of problems maintaining, you know, control of the country, even as it is. And I don't think it's going to be much different for Afghanistan. Probably a lot worse.
I would say worse than Iraq. In terms of, you know, sort of the whole maintaining law and order kind of stuff. But, you know, and I think, frankly, I think we have to be okay with that. We have to be like, we're leaving. Good luck, guys, but it's your problem, not ours. And, you know, if we do have specific direct interests of, you know, Al-Qaeda folks to deal with or direct threats to us, fine, you know, we'll deal with them on a case-by-case basis. But, yeah, I don't know. And the other thing that was mentioned was Iran, and I guess he made explicit the threat that he'd made for a while that he would veto any new Iran sanctions that came up. But I think that was sort of a...
Well, duh.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, that was implied all along. Second of all, the risk of that seems to have receded because a number of Democrats who had said they would vote for such sanctions have backed off. And while they haven't said they wouldn't vote for them, they've said they don't want them to actually come to a vote unless we get in a situation where it's clear that Iran is no longer cooperating or is rescinding or isn't following what they're supposed to do in the negotiations, which essentially means... You know, it's not going forward. So it's sort of, you know, okay, you say that now, but the main danger was several weeks ago. So I don't know. I guess that's all I have to say. I mean, this is one of those things where it just happens that we're now on a schedule where we're recording the show on, you know, early Wednesday UTC, which is Tuesday night U.S. time. So that's when they had the speech. I bet you anything, if we were on our old schedule of recording on Sunday or Monday, that by the time we get to next Sunday or Monday, we would have completely forgotten about this and maybe mentioned it for a sentence or two at most.
Exactly. Probably.
You know, this is not a speech that is going to make any difference whatsoever a week from now,
not
let alone
one
months
iota.
From now.
Nothing. Zip. Zippo.
Okay, with that, let's take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll figure out what the hell else we have to talk about. Back after this.
This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show.
Okay, Yvonne, we're here. I got several other things on my list, but do you want to volunteer something?
What do you got? What do you got?
You're too tired to think, huh?
I do have some stuff written down, but I want to hear what you got to say first.
Okay, the first one is, I just think we have to at least mention Ukraine. I mean, there's
I've seen all the news flashes. I haven't really read them. I don't understand what the hell's going on.
Well, see, here's the thing, too, and I feel incredibly guilty because I haven't, I mean, I've been following at a very high level, but I haven't, you know, taken the time to dive in and really understand what's going on.
Me neither.
I guess the bottom line is that the current president, when he was running for office, talked about the fact that he was going to go ahead and sign this deal with the European Economic Union.
He was the guy that said that, and then, like, I don't know, a couple of months ago, didn't the Soviets almost, like, freaking, like, basically, like, put a gun to his head and basically said,
well, I don't know I don't know what matter of intimidation did or did not happen, but
was a significant amount of
the end result was he decided not to sign the agreement with the Europeans and to sign something with Russia instead.
And everybody just started spilling onto the streets. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I remember now.
And by everybody, I mean, the country is somewhat divided on this. There's a significant portion of the country that would prefer that it move more towards Europe, and there's a significant amount part of the country that would prefer they move more towards Russia. And there are real divides here, and some of them map geographically. Some may not. So the people who wanted the more closer integration with Europe got really upset. They took to the streets. Then they passed laws saying you can't demonstrate. And then they demonstrated even more as a reaction to that. And there's been, it spilled into violence in a number of places. You see all these pictures of fires and people confronting each other. It hasn't gone completely out of control yet, but it's like every day it's right on the verge of like going nuts. And really exploding. In the last couple days, the government has made some conciliatory gestures. Within the last 24 hours before we're recording this, the prime minister and his cabinet resigned. The president has not, but the prime minister and his cabinet have resigned. The president has offered to put some members of the opposition into some of those positions to give them sort of a voice in government, but the opposition is now saying too little, too late, we want you to resign. And as far as I know, that's where we sit right now. But there are also these protesters in various places have sort of taken over the buildings for local government offices. And so there's a lot of things sort of right on the verge of completely exploding, but not quite yet, but really close there. And so it's a very volatile situation in a very volatile part of the world where obviously both the Russians and the West have interests here. And, you know, there are a lot of scenarios that could happen that could spiral out of control. At the same time, you could go the other way and de-escalate rapidly. But, you know, I don't know.
I don't know either.
And and again, this is one of the things where I feel guilty because, you know, I listen to BBC. I pay attention somewhat to these things. And I realize that it's been the top story, and I've sort of been listening, okay, what are today's developments? But again, I haven't taken the time to really dig in and understand what's the background here, what's going on, who are the players, how's this playing out? And I suspect if this goes on any longer, we'll all want to. But I mean, the reality is here, you know, if you were looking at... if you weren't listening to the BBC and you're paying any attention to any sort of U.S. news source...
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't know a damn thing. I mean, I knew about it. I read it when it originally started happening. But, the thing is that I kept seeing more of the protests. And I know they had the protests originally, but I just didn't keep following it. I got to be honest.
Well, you know, how can you talk about the Ukraine when, you know, Justin Bieber's getting arrested?
Well, yes, he was.
Like, a down few here, feet from Miami. Where you live, right? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He got arrested. It was all over the news. Oh, yeah. That was very big.
So, I don't know what else to say about Ukraine right now, other than we should be paying a lot more attention to it than we are.
It's Ukrained.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Back after this, let's take another break, and we'll figure out what else to talk about. That was a really short segment.
Because we don't know jack shit. We have no fucking idea what to talk about.
Well, we knew we should talk about Ukraine. We just didn't know anything to say about it. Because we're stupid and uninformed.
Right.
We'll be back after this. Hey, you. Listeners. We know you have thoughts about the stuff we say here on Curmudgeon's Corner. You probably think we're completely wrong about many things. Or perhaps you want to tell us that we're geniuses. That's always great. Or perhaps you just want to suggest a topic for us to talk about. All of these things are wonderful. We love to hear from you. So talk to us. If you prefer email, just email Sam, that's me, your prime curmudgeon, at abulsme@abulsme.com. That's spelled ABULSME. Or tweet at us. I'm @abulsme, and Yvonne is @IamBo.
That's I-M-B-O-U. And while we may not do it every time, don't be surprised if we respond to you right here on the show during an upcoming episode. Thanks, everybody. We'll be looking for your email and tweets, so get right on that.
Okay.
You know, and here a few are. Years back,
yes,
I won an award. Okay, all right.
Oh, it congratulations.
I've gotten some of those awards. It was one of the shittiest awards I've ever gotten. It was a Lucite plaque. I mean, it was like, you know, it was just, I mean, it was, but I'm like scratching my head wondering, where the fuck did it go? I usually don't throw them out. I've got almost every damn thing that they've given me over the years. I got 1 year. They gave me some stupid medal. It's hanging over here, for God's sakes. That one was idiotic.
I'll tell you, one of the things that my company does mm-hmm. is when your name is on a patent application.
Okay.
They give you a little, you know, Lucite puzzle piece. Okay. Cool. If a patent actually makes it through and gets issued, they give you a blue one. Okay. And the blue one has the addition that they put on it your name and the patent number.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So after almost 8 years here, I guess it was a year ago, so like 7 or so years after I started here, the first one I did, I got a blue one. Yeah. I posted about it online when it happened.
I don't fucking remember this.
Anyway, okay. But it's nothing.
You did get a patent.
Well, yeah, but look, a half dozen people's names were on it. I was the project manager for the people who actually came up with the idea. It's not like I actually came up with it. So, well, anyway, whatever. Still.
Anyway,
my point is, since you were talking about awards,
they put
your name and the patent number on it.
Right.
Which is fine. Okay, that's cool. But they just print it on and it rubs off.
Oh, that sucks. No,
this is what I'm saying.
Oh, my name was etched into that Lucite plaque.
Like, if you're gonna put something on the damn plaque, because I noticed it, like,
etch the damn thing.
It was like a week or two later, I pick up the thing and I notice like the letters are smudged.
Oh, and, that's blows.
And like, it was starting to come off. And I'm like, really? You've got to be kidding me. That means in order for this not to come off, I have to like treat this thing with kid gloves, because apparently you rub it the wrong way and the letters come off.
Oh, that's fucking bullshit.
And now, meanwhile, I will say, they gave me a plaque also that had like the picture of the front page of the patent etched on it or whatever. And, okay, that's cooler. But like, still, you're going to do the stupid little puzzle piece.
Agreed. Yeah. You could have etched the damn name on the thing. Well, I don't know. My Lucite plaque, I don't know. Disappeared.
Anyway, do you have another topic? I did the last one. Your turn.
Well, Apple did announce their earnings results yesterday. Yes. All right, which apparently disappointed quite a lot of people. I got to be honest. I was one that was surprised. Apple grew. Okay. All right. Yeah. Sales grew.
Record sales in certain areas.
There were record sales of iPhones, record sales of iPads, there were record sales just across the board about everything. Now, the one thing is, like, as everything's like happens, like, the expectations for Apple are... Apple is the most watched stock. It's one of the biggest... It's not the biggest market. It's, you know, it's the top three market caps in the out there. And so they get so much ridiculous attention now. It's kind of difficult to even be investing in the stock, to be quite honest with you, because of some of the reactions over certain stuff. And so people overreacted to the numbers, like, in a negative manner, basically. It is right. Apple's growth has substantially slowed. That is true. That there is no arguing about that. iPhone sales did grow year over year, but it was a pretty small growth. iPad tablet sales and other things, they did grow. Now, the one thing is that the explanations of people are going, it's just, you know, it's retarded, because everybody, a number of people, I'm not going to say everybody, a number of people were trying to say, well, the problem is Apple doesn't have a big phone. And I'm like, okay, guys, did you read, did any of you pay attention to Samsung's earnings announcement like a week before? Because Samsung has a whole bunch of big fucking phones, and their revenue dropped like a rock. 20%. All right? Their profits, like, evaporated last quarter. They had a really bad quarter, and they forecast an even worse quarter this year. So it's not a big phone problem. Actually, the better explanation came today when AT&T and some of the other phone carriers were releasing numbers about their sales performance, which showed that people are just not adding more lines. And let's face it, there's a saturation level. I mean, I was thinking the other day, remember that trio that you kept breaking all the time?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Multiple trios.
Yeah, Sam used to love this trio, and it was a piece of shit, but he loved it, and he went through those, and I remember
At the time...
It was a very technologically advanced thing.
It was the best smartphone choice out there.
Right.
I had tried the Windows... They were also awful. I mean, awful. Like, you got to remember, before the iPhone, it was a choice of awful. None of them were good.
They were all god awful. All right, which is why I chose not to have any. All right, for the longest time.
I mean, I used the hell out of that trio. I used it to the maximum extent you could.
That's why you kept breaking it all the time. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, but right now, let's face it. Okay. Everybody's got one of these fucking phones, especially the high end of the market. All right, everybody's got those phones. All right.
Essentially, what you're saying is, at least in the major markets, anybody who is going to spend that kind of money on a smartphone has already done so.
I will tell you that even in the foreign markets. I mean, I was in Colombia 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry, but everybody that I was with a lot of people with high incomes. They all had a fucking iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
They all did. So, it's kind of like, you know, and then, okay, great, well, but Android volume is growing. Yeah, and here's the problem. It's growing in the low end of the market, and that's the thing that Samsung reported, which was, Samsung didn't report so much of a decrease. What they reported was a massive drop in their margins, and they announced a huge increase in volume, but it's all in very low margin phones, which are just these cheap phones, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that basically are killing their profits. So it's not really a, I mean, Apple is not, what's the point of going out and selling a whole bunch of phones and losing money on them? I mean, hell, I would say Nokia announced that the Lumia sales were down. Samsung announced that their sales really in the high. I mean, everybody reported miserable numbers, which is all it's showing is what I'm saying is, well, Apple had good numbers and they did grow, but the market, I mean, they actually probably took market share in where they want to be. Okay. The problem is that the market just isn't growing like it used to be because most people have a damn phone now, smartphone. At this point, at least the people at the high end of the spectrum. I'm trying to think of anybody that I know that is really, you know, can afford a smartphone that doesn't have, by the way,
the other markets are getting, you know, the laptop market also same thing. Anybody who wants one has one.
Exactly.
You know, iPads, maybe there's a little room to grow still, but still, you know, most people who want them and are excited about the product already reported
across the board increases in both iPhone sales, iPad sales, Mac sales, everything grew. It's just not at the gangbusters rates that they were growing. I mean, they're almost at $200 billion in annual revenue, for God's sakes. I mean, they're like selling, they're twice as big as HP now, okay? It's, you know, or IBM. It's enormous. So, you know,
I mean, one of the things is, of course, you know, the amorphous people known as the market always seem to want exponential growth forever. But
right,
guess what?
It doesn't exist.
You know, actually, you know, things grow rapidly for a while, then they slow down, then they stabilize, and in most cases, eventually they decline. But you know, you usually have a plateau period of quite a while, and that can be healthy. Growth forever isn't reality.
So the thing is that, you know, I mean, the stock market overreacted in a negative way. It's something that's nonsensical because it's like, I mean, you know, so now the one thing about this is just in terms of Apple, Now, I heard the conference call, okay, that Tim Cook and the executives had. I will say this. They dropped about as many hints as you could without actually announcing anything, like I've never seen them before, about there will be some new products this year.
Right.
We are launching, you know, they didn't say what.
But well, and for instance, somebody had commentary earlier today, and I tweeted it, but don't have it in front of me, that one change that Apple made within the last 24 hours was just on their website. They upgraded Apple TV
to a separate product.
To a separate product. It had been just listed sort of in a corner as an accessory to an iPod.
Right.
And now it's its own listing.
And I'm, you know, let's face it. A couple of years ago, Steve had said that he thought he had cracked the code on what to do about TV. Now, the fact that they haven't launched anything, you know, but you know, he did say that before he passed away. They're probably tweaking and perfecting whatever the hell Steve came up with up until this point. And if they launch something in that, then you know. But the point is that, you know, even with all the acquisitions, talk about Nest. Listen, one of the reasons why you see companies all over making all these acquisitions is because, hey, you know, it's tough to generate internal growth, especially when your numbers get this big. So you start buying shit because, you know what, even you can't generate every fucking idea. So, I think that I do expect, based on really what I heard on the phone, that they will announce something that is just different, something outside the box about what we've expected. Okay, so that's the take I took from it. But the market is, you know, you've reached most of the market that had most of the money. The rest of the money that's really left out there in terms of growth is really selling, you know, replacing. Like, I can't remember. I was actually sitting. When the hell was this? It was a couple of days ago. I was sitting behind somebody, dude, that still had a flip phone, man.
Yeah.
I was, like, shocked. Okay? I can't remember where the hell I was. It was like, it was at the airport. That was it. On Sunday, I'm at the airport. I'm waiting for my wife's flight to arrive. And holy shit, if I don't see, for the first time I've seen it, like, whatever, a guy with a flip phone.
Yeah, I mean, my sister, until within the last year, insisted, you know, she asked me every once in a while, well, will I still be able to get another dumb phone when this one dies? Because I don't want a smartphone. Of course, this last year she relented and she got an iPhone. She didn't get the current model. She got like it was before the 5S. She didn't get a 5, she got a 4S. But okay, there you go. My mother is still along those lines. You know, she has got an old flip phone. She insists she does not want a smartphone. She doesn't want to be that connected. She doesn't want that stuff. She just wants a phone. My dad and my stepmom, I'm pretty sure, are exactly the same boat. They just want a phone. It's lucky they even have a cell phone. Okay, but you know, so there is still an audience out there for that kind of thing, but it's so small now.
It's so small. It's tiny. I mean, you know, so. So anyway, so that was the thing that I saw about that. I mean, there was a lot of earnings announcements. Also, Yahoo announced that their earnings sucked. Okay, that their ad sales are down. So, but that's not really a surprise. You know, we had that Samsung announcement the week before Apple announced. You know, but it's just at this point, just to, you know, summarize. I mean, you know, what you're seeing is until some next big thing. I mean, you know, this is a market like right now that's controlled by a couple of different companies, and that you know, nobody's come up. I mean, I don't know what the hell game changer you come up with in the frickin' mobile device. I mean, really, you know, and I don't think that following Donald Trump's advice, go big, is gonna really help. I mean, market. Would we get some stuff? Sure, maybe. But
they're
really,
talking big. They're talking curved. They're talking flexible. They're talking.
Yeah, it's all sorts of idiotic bullshit. I'm just like, you know, yeah, a curve.
It's all about the watch.
The fucking
watch and the Google Glass.
The stupid watch, the dumb glasses, for God's sakes. I'm like, come on. What the fuck? I mean, really? I mean, and then Samsung announces, oh, yeah, we're going to make a product that's like glass. I'm like, really? You know, could you come up with some original idea?
You know, I will continue to say, I think there is potential with the idea of wearable tech. I just think we're still a little premature. It has to be a lot better than what we're talking about so far.
I think you're right. There's a lot of uses for it. All I know is that if I'm fucking wearing one of those things at the dinner table, I'm going to get punched in the face.
Somebody still has to make the same kind of leap that Apple did with phones with these kinds of wearable things. And I'm not saying it's going to be Apple. It might be, it might not be. But like the what we have right now is sort of... The Google glasses of the world and the Samsung watches, you know, are like, you know, the Trios and Windows Mobile phones of the before iPhone era.
Right.
You know, they represent an example of that kind of tech, but an example of that kind of tech that is crap and hasn't actually found the right way to break through and do it, quote unquote, right, that people will flock to and like.
The other day, there was a guy.
And if you or I knew the right way to do that, we would not be sitting here talking about it.
Right. The other day, there was a guy who was wrote a story about that he had Google Glass, and that his wife was going to deliver a baby, and that he couldn't understand why his wife was angry that he proposed to live broadcast using his Google Glass the fucking birth inside the room, and that he couldn't understand why his wife was upset. Now, what I've realized is that this guy who was writing this is a complete fucking moron, because if I went and I tried to, if I went with my, say, instead of having Google Glass, if I had a fucking camera, if I had my phone and I tried to broadcast via FaceTime or something, whatever, my wife's birth, my wife would have punched me dead in the face.
My wife prohibited me from taking pictures during Alex's birth, but I did take audio.
You did take audio. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Well, so basically what I realize is this guy, I don't understand why my wife wouldn't let me record the event using my Google Glass. Yeah, I'm like, I was thinking, I don't understand how the hell you're still married, asshole.
Now, having said that, there's some women out there who'd be recording it them damn selves with their Google Glass.
I agree. But the problem is that you've got the same problem. It's one of those things is like about the social acceptability of like, I mean, you know, fuck, I got enough pushback from people. And actually, I understand it. It's like, for example, at a dinner table and other stuff or whatever, what the hell you do, phone or whatever, it's like, yeah, let's just add another element to make it even now.
Having said that, social norms are changing very, very rapidly along those lines.
I got to tell you something. Social norms are getting to that there's a lot more backlash to people doing it. I think when they were new, everybody thought it was cool. Now what I'm getting is at a lot of places, at tables, where people do not mince words about saying, put that fucking phone down, is what I'm seeing a lot.
Mm.
I got to tell you.
I think it very much depends on the crowd you're with, and I certainly know that.
I'm telling you, it's been happening to me with a lot of different people. It's not just one crowd, and I've seen it happen with a lot of people. I think that you're actually getting to a point where I know that there are certain people that don't care. That's fine. You know, you always have that group. Yeah. But I got to tell you that what I'm seeing on the average interaction is to a point where people are just, you know. It used to be people ignored it, and now people are like, you know, starting meetings and saying, everybody put the fucking phones down. First thing to start off a meeting.
Right.
Close your left.
I will say, there is, the norms are changing, but I think meetings versus dinner versus while you're out for something else, those are all different scenarios and have different dynamics around them. I'm in situations all the time where people do have their phones out in social situations, not work. But, you know, it's not that they're all in their own little worlds. They're talking about what they're looking at on their phone, or they're looking something up on the phone that's relevant to the conversation, or things along those.
Right, right, right. That's one thing, but I got to tell you, I've been seeing a lot of. I've been called out a couple of times this year. I got to tell you, different people, okay, saying put the fucking phone away. So, and that did used to happen not too frequently.
See, now so. What they have to move from the Google Glass to the Google Contact Lens, which they talked about. Google's working on one.
I saw that.
But it's to do something with diabetes. It's not actually going to have a display on it.
Right.
But they have to move to the thing that is completely invisible and no one can tell.
No one can tell that you're not fucking paying attention to anything they're telling you. So you're sitting there at the table and you're like, it's like, asshole. Scumbag! What are you doing? Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Exactly. And no one can tell when you're recording.
Right. Great.
Yeah, that's what you have to get to. Once you do that, then everybody will, you know, and then, you know, and then make the norm that, you know, you're continuously recording everything of all times.
Yep.
It's only a matter of time, Yvonne.
We'll see what the hell happens.
I do want to say one more thing since we were talking about Apple. It was the 30th anniversary of the Mac.
Yes, it was.
And so a number of people have had retrospectives and things like that. I'll just say, and I know you had Macs before I did, but I saw the very first Macs when they came out. I played with one, but I was singularly unimpressed until System 7 and Color. And once we had System 7 and Color, that's when I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, I got very early exposed to color Mac 2s yeah. when I was in high school because I happened to have a friend of mine whose family owned a television station, and they had actually purchased all Mac 2s to help with the production, for the TV station. And I all of a sudden I got to use them, and I was like, holy smokes, these are cool. Yeah. I mean, it's like made my computer look like an utter piece of crap, okay? Because I had a DOS machine that I had at home, and I was like, oh my god. I'm like, I want one of these. So that's why when I first got to school, I got a Mac 2X. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when it was actually probably yours and Jay's, who lived down the hall, had color Mac 2s.
Yep.
And running Apple System 7, Macintosh yep. System 7.
Yep.
And those were the first ones that I looked at and was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I can see now. This is clearly better than what's happening on the Wintel side of the fence, or IBM compatibles, as we called them back then.
Yeah.
My next computer after that, which wasn't for a couple of years, but my next computer after that was a Mac, and I haven't looked back since.
So it's been 24 years I've had a Mac, so...
Yeah, which means I've probably been like 22 years or something like that. So
yeah, it'll be 25 years this September. So there you go.
So okay. So thanks once again for making us feel old, or me,
Jesus,
and other people who remember this. But
good Lord, really, 25 years?
Yeah, and don't even get me started on the very first computers I touched and antiquated they are at this point.
All right.
Let's take a break. We'll be back and see if there's any last thing to talk about, and then we'll wrap it up. Back after this.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, so I will mention one thing. Yeah, I mentioned at the very beginning here in sort of our pre-show thing that how I had to leave the house because, you know, Alex was bothering me too much in the State of the Union. And I was just about to say, he hasn't been here yet, but he just walked in.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, because I was like, I need to concentrate. And he's climbing all over me and talking to me and like wanting me to do stuff. And I'm like, I'm trying to concentrate. And so I ran out of the house and he was trying to follow me. So I jumped in the car and pulled away. And I apologized to him later after I came in.
Oh, good.
At some point, I should just expect. I if there's something like that that I really want to pay attention to, don't even come home.
Right.
Yeah. Just watch it somewhere else, and then come home. Yeah. Although it all depends on what's going on at the time. Like right now, he just came into the room, but he's Alex, you sat down and you're playing with something, right? That's good. So, yeah. So. Oh, he's building something. He's not playing. I apologize.
All right.
So, a couple quick things. One.
Daddy,
yes?
Tell me how long you will be done.
Another 5-10 minutes.
Very soon.
Very soon. So, anyway, a couple other stories that were out there. One. More NSA revelations, and I just thought this one was kind of amusing, because, again, it's nothing unexpected given everything we've heard about, but the new one this week was talking about NSA looking at leakage from apps.
I forgot about that.
Basically, the idea is that there are many, many apps on these smartphones that all collect data of various sorts, and even if you aren't doing... these other things that we've talked about before, a lot of these apps aren't very careful about storing your information or how they transmit them or what's encrypted and what's not. There's some things you can get with physical access to the phone. There are other things you can get simply by listening in on the radio conversations that are going on or tapping the servers on either end or whatever. They gave the example that was in all the news stories was freaking Angry Birds.
Yes.
And it's like, what's the most innocuous thing you can think of? It's silly little games like that.
I'm trying to figure out what do you gain by finding out how much
many
Angry
of these
Birds
apps, many of these apps capture location data. In order to serve ads to you.
Okay.
And there are other things, too.
But if they've got... Okay, but I'm sorry. There are so many other ways to track my fucking location phone.
This is a particularly easy one, apparently. But also, there are things like... they're talking about a variety of other apps, like... one that was also brought up in examples was Grindr. Yeah, you know what Grindr is, right?
No.
Grindr... is a hookup app, particularly aimed at gay men.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember this app. Okay, yep.
And so the basic idea is, even if all you do is detect the fact that they're using Grindr, hey, maybe you've got something to blackmail somebody.
Okay, no. That makes more sense than the intro of my Angry Birds game. Yeah.
Right. But, basically think of any app you're using. Whether it's a game or software to read forums or shopping apps or things about buying movie tickets or looking at reviews or whatever, almost every app you use collects some information about you, and some of it may be more sensitive than others, but some of it you may not even think is like interesting or significant, but can add to a picture of you. Now, again, just like everything else, the NSA's modus operandi is collect everything they can and then look for suspicious patterns or dig in when they're specific suspects in question.
So I guess if I go through way too many levels of Angry Birds, it means that I'm on a stakeout or something?
Maybe. But no, but the modus operandi, again, is like, I think most of these things people would be like, and I guess it's who you talk to is the whole difference in this debate. Do you mind the idea of people collecting everything and then looking for patterns, or do you think people should only even collect the thing if they've already got a suspicion? That's the key divide on absolutely everything.
And I agree, and that's been my argument. I think that people've got to have a reasonable suspicion in order to, you know, in order to go and like pull those records, and that's where we have this big, you know, it's the big disconnect where, you know, they're doing and they're grabbing all this information. They're looking for patterns. I'm like, no, I don't like this.
Well,
not at all.
And look, I think the main takeaway from this is not, like, again, from the point of view of the general public, this is not. This shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, the core revelation about
the general public doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I know, but the core revelation about this all along is it can simply be summarized by, if it's possible to look at, the NSA is looking at it. Okay, now the people who should care about this are app developers, because what this means is basically, look, if you, no matter what kind of app you're developing, no matter how innocuous it is, if you're collecting any information about your users whatsoever, you should be thinking about security, and you should be thinking about how to keep that safe. And even, like, you know, if you're some random site, and you have passwords, you should be careful. Like, a lot of people are, you know, they're like, you know, I'm a stupid little site. What does the password even matter? If someone breaks in, what do they get? But the reality is, so many people reuse their passwords.
Right. If you get a password there, you can write.
You can go anywhere. Yep. You know? Yep. And so, if you're an app developer, you should be thinking about security, even on things that you think are completely unimportant.
Which is precisely why I don't do that, by the way. I have like simple passwords that I use for some stuff, but anything important, like anything that is fine or something, gets a whole bunch of different passwords. I have like passwords for, you know, for the different things. So
yeah, and yeah, I've had a strategy for a while of having sort of different tiers of passwords.
Yep,
like one password I use for all kinds of unimportant stuff, another password I use for these other things, another password. But, you know, I come to the realization I have too few of them and my categories are too broad. But at the same time, passwords are such a pain in the ass.
They're such a pain in my ass.
And we've talked about that before. I don't want to have a separate password for every place.
I want to have some kind of fucking two-factor authentication thing that I could use everywhere, for God's sakes.
Well, and you know, you've got these various services like LastPass and stuff like that, and I haven't played with any of them yet because they all seem like such a pain too.
They're all a pain. That's the problem. They're all painful. There's just.
Okay. One more thing here, and then we're done.
Yeah.
No, Daddy. Oh, Eddie knows when I.
Yeah.
No, I was.
Oh, okay. So it is just, I tweeted about this too. There were a series of articles this week about Rand Paul, basically pushing him as sort of, with Christie having all sorts of problems, you know, Rand Paul's the front runner now, and here's some profiles on him and things like that. And I just wanted to give a few thoughts on that. First of all, I think Christie is definitely seeing some damage from here. Like we talked about a few weeks ago, it's too early to see whether he's going to come back from that or not. Clearly some damage, but, you know, we got almost 3 years here.
Got a long, long time to go.
A long, long time. Also, with Rand Paul, you know, I mentioned I don't know how long ago, a long time ago, I think that wing of the Republican Party is certainly growing and showing its strength somewhat, but I don't think they're there yet. I think the establishment has too much power yet. If they can't get Christie, they'll have Jeb Bush run or somebody, and they'll find somebody else to throw their weight behind. The establishment is too strong right now for that kind of insurgency. I think maybe 2020, there's a better chance. I think 2016 is still too early. However, I will say this. This is another one of those situations where if all of the other candidates either decline to run or self-destruct, then you certainly could have somebody like Rand Paul suddenly, you know, hey, he's the most he's the most appealing one standing, and he's certainly more. He loses a lot of the negatives that his father had. He's still got a bunch, but he's certainly more politically savvy and more mainstream than his father was, and more able to appeal to the general public. So he's going to be stronger than Ron Paul was last time around, but I don't think he's going to be strong enough to win. I think he's going to be more in sort of the Santorum-ish position, where he's the last one standing other than the nominee kind of thing. I think that's a more realistic notion than him getting the nominee. Unless, like I said, unless all the other people like self-destruct. That has happened sometimes. I mean, for God's sake, that's how Clinton won. All the people everybody expected to run in 1992 bowed out because they thought George H.W. Bush was so strong.
Right.
And so you got all these little guys who nobody expected to do anything beating each other. Clinton wins out of that, and surprise, George H.W. Bush ends up having all kinds of problems because of the economy, and boom, he's president. And that kind of, who knows, that could happen. And I must say, I think it would be so, so entertaining to have a general election that was, that was Hillary Clinton versus Rand Paul. That would be a wonder to see. I mean, I think you'd probably end up with something that was a blowout like Goldwater losing. But you would see a real distinct contrast on all kinds of issues, even more so than we do in a normal election. I mean, in normal elections, there are certainly issues that the candidates differ on. But they usually agree on... Yeah, they usually agree on more than they disagree with, frankly. And if we had something like Clinton versus Paul, that would be a lot of fun to watch.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen. So anyway.
So, yeah, are you still thinking Clinton Christie? Or you think Jeb Bush is going to jump in? Or what do you think?
I don't know which one of those guys. It's still too early to tell. I mean, I know.
We're looking for pure speculation here.
I really don't think Jeb's going to run. I really don't. I mean, I just...
Although he did express displeasure at his mother once again going on an interview and saying she didn't think any more Bushes needed to run for president.
She also
said she didn't think Clinton's needed to run for president. She said, we don't need political dynasties. Get somebody new in there.
Which, frankly,
I don't disagree with.
I don't disagree with.
And, Hillary's got a lot of her own issues, too. I know 2016 is a long way away, but things are already ramping up. I mean, you have to be blind not to see it.
I still think it's way too early to discard Christie. It's still too damn early.
It is, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody that we are not regularly talking about today ends up.
I wouldn't discount that either. I would not.
Yeah, I mean, look, what we've got right now. I've been tracking these stupid state by state polls. I shouldn't say stupid because I like tracking.
They are
them.
Stupid, but anyway.
There's already information you can glean from them. But
there's data.
But look, you know, on the Republican side, we've had a whole bunch of names polled: Ayotte, Bush, Christie, Cruz, Gingrich, Jindal, Kasich, McDonnell, Palin, Paul, Perry, Rubio, Ryan, Santorum, and Walker. That's a lot of names, and probably only like three or four of them do we even talk about at all on a regular basis. On the Democratic side, there have been polls on Biden, Clinton, Cuomo, Hickenlooper, Klobuchar, Schweitzer, and Warner. And the only one we talk about is Clinton right now. Every once in a while, maybe Biden, you know? And who knows? Yeah, and of course, Clinton can throw a major wrench into works just by saying, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to run. Yeah, I think everything points to her running right now, but...
Now, wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, that would be lots of fun if that happened. But anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody whose name I haven't even mentioned on, you know, is being talked about a year from now. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if they weren't either. I mean, that's a lot of names I just mentioned, you know. So, but we
brought two batteries. So
you brought two batteries for me.
If you have one.
Okay. Anyway, that's all I had to say. I found it interesting that the way these things sort of happen. Like, I noticed, like, we hadn't been hearing much about him lately, and then all in the course of a week, I read, like, three or four long articles about Rand Paul. It's like these things come in wave. You got to feel like these...
It was the Rand Paul week, because I did see a few of those, and I was just, like, reading, and I'm like, really? Really? I kept thinking, don't we have anything else to fucking talk about? I guess not.
Don't believe for a second these things are completely random, either. You know the Rand Paul people have to be out there saying, hey, let me talk to you guys about, why don't you do a profile? You know, like,
I'm sure that's why it was. I mean, you know, I would... guarantee that's why it was. But
well, and they're taking advantage of the Christie situation, and it's just smart politics. And that's the kind of thing you're going to see going back and forth for the next year.
All right. Daddy, okay. All right. We're done.
Batteries. We're done. You don't want to talk about the prediction that Facebook is going to disappear in a couple years.
No. Let's we're over. Okay.
Okay. Help me say goodbye, Alex. We're saying goodbye. So thank
you.
Thanks, everybody,
bye,
for bye. Listening. We'll talk to you again.
No, say bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.